Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. Brittany Freeman Farr and Quentin Farr first met as teenagers at Milwaukee High School of the Arts, playing together in the jazz lab. A marriage, vocal cord surgery, and a few albums later, the two are still together.
Brittany, known by her stage name Be Free, boasts a soulful sound and a creative vision. The musical couple continues to push each other to achieve their goals while maintaining balance between support and criticism.
They joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in Studio C ahead of their performance on Wednesday at Washington Park and kicked it off with this original song, By the Phone.
I've been sitting by the phone, can't go out cause you ain't home, yeah, all night, all day, yeah, oh, yeah. So na 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 na, oh yeah.
That was Be Free on vocals and Quentin Farr on keyboard performing By the Phone. First off, let me welcome you both to Lake Effect.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So to start, you've had a really busy summer past season. You did MJ Uncovered. You've opened for Janelle Monáe at Summerfest. And coming up, we got Prince at the Park. So, you know, you have a wide range of influences and you're best known for R&B, but you're... rhythm and musical styles go from classical flute, voice, to piano, to jazz. So I want to touch upon the process of you reimagining the artists that have influence and that you love. So to start with MJ Uncovered, you know, what was it like to put that whole show together?
Well, first off, I had a really good template in mind as far as the expectancy of the show, because I've had the opportunity of performing in four other Uncovered shows myself. The very first one that I had the pleasure of being a part of was Jones Uncovered for Quincy Jones. And then not too long after that, there was Prince Uncovered. And then it was followed by Tribe Uncovered, Tribe Called Quest with Classic. And then the last one I did was Wonder Uncovered, in which they got to reimagine that really wonderful album by Stevie himself. So seeing all of these other artists kind of take the bat and take their stab at reimagining things kind of gave me an idea of what I could possibly do or what I maybe liked or didn't like, and so to speak. So there were some arrangements that I thought, oh, that's really, maybe be cool to try, or maybe I'd like to take that approach. So it was really very helpful having that in the back of my mind. As far as everything else, I'm really a fan of trying to like make mashups and combine songs together, especially in my teaching career, because we perform five shows a year, and a lot of that material you might find us performing, you know, two songs in one, or taking the genre of another song and mixing it with another. So there was a lot of already good ideas that I've had practice with playing around with from that experience. And I really just wanted to make anything that I touched completely different than what you would normally expect it to be when you listen to that particular MJ song. You know, some of them were just as simple as taking a fast song and making it slower, or vice versa, whereas we also had some newer material that's been released by other artists that I thought would be really fitting to mix with MJ. For example, one of my favorites was I took the music on the lyrics from In the Closet and we placed it over Finesse by Bruno Mars. So that kind of became its own body of work, and it was one of the most enjoyable ones, not just by the audience, but from the cast and the band itself. So that was really the premise of the entire show, trying to find things and styles that I found enjoyable, not just in my upbringing, but in current times, and finding ways to present them to the audience so that they can see, like, hey, I never would have thought that that song would find, you know, be okay in that style or in this key or in that manner. And also being able to have people throughout the city who you may not even know of before. You know, I have a lot of talented friends in my circles, and I really wanted to give everybody an opportunity to have a big platform and present themselves to the city in a way that they can see, you know, what they're about in case they come across them later. So it was really cool.
Yeah, and you got the big Milwaukee collaborative community. I feel that has really grown here. But then you also had the autonomy to finally say, like, okay, this is the show I'm doing. I get to run and decide what it is versus being a part of those other ones that you mentioned.
Exactly.
And what was it like for you? Did you have to really look back on some of these songs and reevaluate them? Because I imagine before you just enjoyed listening to them, and now you got to go at it at a totally new constructive angle.
I'll tell you, I was really Michael'd out by the time we got done with everything, because you do have to kind of go back and study every aspect of it. Not just that, but I also had to do my own research, because in the Uncovered series, you can't have any music in there that the artists themselves didn't have a hand in either writing or producing. So that made things really, really difficult, because there were some tunes that I know everybody loves, like Thriller, that would have been great to do something with, but he didn't actually write or produce that song, as great as it is. So it was really just going in and kind of fine with a fine-tooth comb, picking through what I could do and seeing how it fit. And also, in my mind, too, I had the show set into three different sections, too. So the first one was MJ Dance, which is kind of self-explanatory, while the middle section was MJ Love, and then the last one was MJ Social Awareness. So that kind of helped me a bit, too, with knowing what type of music to put where and arranging it in that order. But it's definitely a night and day performing in those things as opposed to running the entire thing, because you think that with having such experience as being the director of a whole music program that it would just be, oh, this is a piece of pie. But you have to be responsible for every single minute detail of as goes on, from the lighting choices to the pay to figuring out rehearsal schedules amongst a cast of 30-plus people. So it was definitely a learning experience that I will value and cherish to this day and take forward with me from then on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with the support of the city, you've been doing more and more concerts. And right now, upcoming is the Prince in the Park.
Yes.
So what about doing MJ Uncovered and that experience translate for you in your preparation for Prince? And, you know, to start, what does Prince mean to you and his music? And what are the favorite attributes that you wanted to capture yet put your own spin on it?
Well, one of the things I will say that I have to kind of remind people of is that, unfortunately, this isn't an Uncovered show. And that kind of releases some of the pressure, I think, because with the MJ, I was responsible for making sure that everything was just as different as possible, you know, where this is more of a celebration of his music in general, which I think is just fun. This is just a celebration of his awesomeness, his genius, his musicality, his versatility. And I have been listening to Prince my entire life. Like, both of my parents were musicians, and they introduced us, me and my sisters, to him as far as I can remember. I was 4 years old, you know, jumping up and down the Purple Rain, stuff like that. So I have a Prince tattoo actually on my arm, and I got it on the anniversary of the day that he passed. And I was like, it would be super cool just to do a show in which everybody can, like, just come together. And I think that this show will be a little bit of something for everybody, because we have some of the classic things that you might expect from, like, the 80s era of Prince, Purple Rain and things like that. But I also have a few tunes that we snuck in that he wrote for other artists, which I kind of thought of in the same grain as MJ Uncovered. It was like, is it still his song? You know, even though it's not his, you know, under his title, it's, you know, it's a song that he produced or that he wrote. So it's still Prince music. So that'll be fun. We've got some of his more contemporary things from before he passed in there. And then, of course, we're just closing out with some really, really fun music that everybody, all ages, will enjoy. So I think it's going to be awesome. And that's coming up really soon. So
yeah, well, let's give the listeners a little sneak peek. What will you be playing for us next?
Oh, well, today, Quentin and I are going to be performing one of his more laid-back cuts, because in addition to playing millions of instruments on his own, he also had an acoustic side to him where he would often perform in concert or on tracks with just the piano. And while one of the other singers from the show, Kendall J, is going to be performing this on the actual night of the event, I'm going to be performing How Come You Don't Call Me.
Yeah.
guess I was wrong. Sometimes it feels like I'm gonna die. If you don't call me Papa, ooh, you've got to try. Won't get down on my knees, hoping you please, please come home. Yeah, say, won't you call me sometimes, Papa?
Was Be Free on vocals and Quentin Farr on keyboard performing How Come You Don't Call Me by Prince. So you two are here together. We couldn't get the full band in, unfortunately, but it's great to have you both here. And I'm wondering, what is it like playing with your spouse? How have you challenged each other? You know, not just personally, but musically, because you're both musicians in your own right, involved in other groups, you know, and how do you hear each other from in different perspectives?
For me, it's a challenge because not only is she my wife, but she's someone that I respect, and I like to keep her respect. So Be Free, she's the type of person that keeps you on your toes. So I just try to stay sharp with everything I do, and we've been playing for, what, 15 years now?
Just about.
Yeah, so we kind of know each other in and out as far as musically, so... I mean, it does come naturally, but it's still at the same time, you need to stay on point with it. And I'm always trying to impress her. And yeah, that's.
You don't have to try hard. I think the fact that Quentin and I both went to High School of the Arts together, we've been playing literally since we were kids and teenagers, you know, in the jazz lab. So we did kind of already develop this musical rapport with our relationship before it became what it is today. But the fact that we do spend so much time together, and the fact that we are the most comfortable with one another does come with its challenges, because there are times when there might be an opposing, you know, musical view or something that one or the other may want to change or approach differently. And there is a certain level of balance that we both work really hard at trying to incorporate in our relationship, of knowing the time and place and right way to, you know, handle all of these situations. Playing with him is like my favorite thing in the world too, because of the fact that he literally does know, like you said, in and out what I expect. And what we kind of can finish each other's musical sentences in a way, you know. So I think that's more than anything, I'm truly grateful for that opportunity. We've been trying to find more spaces throughout the city where we can do, like, the duo thing. Because, you know, although I do perform with the full band under Be Free, it's, you know, just having these sorts of setups where it's just, you know, piano and me and Q and sometimes flute, you know, that's really cool. And he himself is definitely someone who I consider to be one of my biggest musical peers and inspirations. Oh. Like, he's super professional. He's super talented. And he's just now getting more into the leadership role himself because he has his own band that he organized called For the Culture. And they've been playing with some upcoming shows. I think you have one coming up at the Sharon Wilson Center on the 18th, we'll be, right?
We'll be playing the after party for the guitar competition. Mm-hmm. The 18th around 4 o'clock.
Right.
4 or 5 o'clock.
So,
and
yeah.
That's going to be a great show.
Our household is full of just being each other's musical cheerleader, guidance counselors, more so than others, because there will be times he'll have to talk me off of a ledge, you know, because I'm trying overreacting to certain things. So it's really cool to have someone as a partner who can keep you musically and emotionally grounded, I think.
Well, and as you've both expanded your roles as musicians in the city, especially within this past year, I would say, has had a lot of momentum. You know, how do you both set goals for one another with this year coming up? You'll have to be teaching again, going to school. So, mm-hmm. you know, rehearsals and gigs would be tighter to schedule as usual.
Yeah.
But with all you've accomplished this summer and being able to explore so many different musical influences or, you know, share a stage with one of your biggest ones, mm-hmm. How are you taking those experiences to keep that momentum going forward?
One of the things that he's actually helping me a lot with is accountability because I have all these wonderful things that have been bestowed upon me and I don't want them to fall to the wayside. Like, I need to find more ways to stay as interactive and as implemented with my musical side of my career while the teaching stuff is going on. And that can be difficult to do, you know, as the school year picks up and, you know, more responsibilities become, you know, come underway. But I think that it's super cool to have someone who knows what it is that I want to do with my career kind of reminding me or keeping, you know, that voice in the back of my head, like, well, what did you do today to accomplish this goal? And goals in general, helping me set, you know, whatever it is that I want to accomplish next. Like, most of the things that we've done this year as an individuals and together musically, we wrote it all out at the beginning of the year. And it's really awesome to, you know, check them off of the list and know that each one of us are helping each other achieve them as we come across them. So that's really awesome. I'm going to try to keep that same momentum going.
Definitely goals. And I believe in speaking stuff into existence. Everything that she's done, she kind of said it before she did it. Like, hey, wouldn't it be great if I opened up for Janelle Monáe? Wouldn't it be great if I did this show at Turner Hall? Yeah, just more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're breathing life into it, what you say. So, you know, keep doing that. Maybe we'll get the Powerball numbers. I don't know. Yeah.
The minute one of us gets the Powerball, you probably won't hear from us again.
Right.
Because we're going to move to a desolate location somewhere. Disconnect all the phones and just, new money, who this? So right.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, that's awesome. Well, to put one more song into the airwaves, into mm-hmm. existence, what are you going to close this out with?
This is a song that I feel has kind of put me on the musical map in Milwaukee, if you will. It's the leading single from my sophomore album, Ultra Love Affair. And it's the song that I feel resonates with so many different people, not just because of its message of, you know, taking back your power from anything that's robbing you of it. But I think that this is also the one people might be most familiar with because it's had the most support. This is No More. I can't believe I'm still here. lying in the bed with my heart to the wall and my face getting drenched with tears. You said you wouldn't do it again, but then you went and did it again, again, again. Pain is trying to ease my mind, but it ain't working. I'm hyperventilating from the way that you hurting. Your love is hurting, but one thing's for certain, that I don't want to do this no more. I can't keep crying, trying to make you see. Don't want to do this no more.
Be Free is Brittany Freeman Farr and Quentin Farr, and they take us out today with an original song, No More. They'll perform Wednesday at Prince in the Park. You can find out more at WUWM.com. Jason Reavy engineered our in-studio performance.
What you mean is over. Heart keeps screaming and bleeding for my love for you. And I need to get over pain inside. Everything that's causing me to lose my mind. Said that you were gonna change. Seem to think that me staying the same. Throwing all the games, I gotta get sane. Sane from the pain, I'm trying to ease my mind. Cause it ain't working. I took a chance, I stuck around. But I'm still hurting, your love is hurting. But I'm so certain that I don't wanna do this no more. Can't keep crying, trying to make you see. Don't wanna do this no more. Love is dying and you can't be the one for me. Don't wanna do this no more. Us no more, can't hurt no more. So I don't wanna do this no more. No, no more. I say no, no, no more. Didn't wanna see, but I could finally breathe the truth. No, no more. The only wrong I found in me was in the me and you. Say no more. You had enough time to make it all right. But I wanna change, I wanna live this away. No more. Sitting down. I'm so tired, tired. Saying no more. I don't wanna do this no more. Can't keep crying, trying to make you see. Don't wanna do this no more. Love is dying and you can't be the one for me. Don't wanna do this no more. Us no more, can't hurt no more. So now I don't wanna do this no more. Sing it, no more. I can't do no more, no more. I can't do no more.